Join me in prayer if you would. Father, we just praise you for the fellowship that we have here. We praise you for the joy that we receive in serving you and serving with others. I just pray, Lord, as we approach your word this morning, that you might open up our hearts and minds. You might change us through the power of sanctification. In Jesus' name, amen. This is our last Sunday in the first part of Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And before we begin, I'd like for you to join me there. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, as Christ continues teaching on the Mount. He says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." And as we begin this morning, I want to do a quick review of what we've covered so far and then tie everything together. And if you recall, as we first started Matthew chapter 6, we looked at various verses in regards to the fact that we are commanded to keep care of the poor. In fact, Job said in Job 29, verse 16, he said, "I was a father to the poor, and I searched out the case that I did not know." James chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." So we're commanded to keep care of the poor, and Christ teaches in Matthew 6 that we should do this with as much anonymity as possible. He says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And the reason why he brings this up is that there's a warning against pride in believing that our goods come from self. In making that point, I use Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, which says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroys before you. So shall you perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." There's also a warning here in Matthew 6 against the praise of men. Matthew 6, verse 2 says that when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory from men. So there's a warning against pride, that the false belief that you've gathered wealth on your own and that you give those to other people and you get pride from that gift. There's a warning against praise, the praise of men. Last week we mentioned that there's a couple of examples in the Bible against having the wrong motivation for gifts, even your offerings to the Lord. Genesis 4 is the story of Cain and Abel. And if you recall, Cain's offering was not accepted. And the Lord in Genesis 4, starting in verse 6, says, "Why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Cain never got a hold of this and ended up murdering his brother Abel. We mentioned the gift of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts, where they lied about giving a total gift to the church. They held money back, and the Lord took them out. And so what we've covered so far, and why I wanted to kind of briefly go through all of this, is the fact that we've mentioned that God has established that all things are from Him. We're commanded to keep care of the poor and do charitable acts. That's clear in the Bible. And He tells us to do it with as much anonymity as possible. Now, the world looking on these commands would say that that isn't fair. You're commanded to give up your money without any praise or glory here in this world. That's how the lost perceives all of Christianity, right? That you're commanded to do things and you don't get paid back. You're commanded to live a moral life and they perceive it as you give up fun. They perceive it as you give up, God wins. You lose, God wins. That's how the world looks at every aspect of Christianity, which bleeds over to their view of giving up worldly goods and, in their mind, not getting paid back. You're leaving out one important aspect, and that is that God is a God of justice, and God is a God of reward. And in fact, if you look back at Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 3, you see mention of that as Christ teaches on the Mount. He says, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly." I think this is one of the least taught concepts in the Bible from a correct biblical standpoint. And that is that God is a God of reward. God makes things right. And I want to spend the balance of the time this morning mentioning this. But you first of all will notice back in verse 4 of Matthew 6, when He tells us to do our charitable deed in secret, He says, your Father who sees in secret. God sees all, doesn't He? He doesn't need an announcement. We don't need to jump up and down and raise our hands and say, God, are you seeing me? Are you seeing me? He sees all. In fact, if you look at Proverbs 21, starting in verse 1, it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, He turns it wherever He wishes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. God sees all. He knows all. He knows when we do a charitable deed. We don't need to tell anyone. See, this belief that God is a God of justice and a God of reward really begins when we first meet Jesus Christ. Because if you look at Hebrews 11, starting in verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Think of it this way. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, life isn't one day when we get to heaven. So many people look at their Christian life in that way. I walked down the aisle. I said the sinner's prayer. I gave my heart to Jesus. Now I'm living however I want. And then heaven begins when I die. Life that God refers to begins when I die. Or when the rapture comes, whichever is first. But that's not true. See, if you have faith in God and you believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, going back to what Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, you recognize as a believer that your life, your peace, your contentment is all tied up in the teachings and truth of Jesus Christ. It's not your vocation. It's not the wealth that you accumulate. It's not in pride and prestige. Your life is tied to the truths and teachings of Jesus Christ. You put your faith and you walk in God's path because you know that there's no better life that you could be living than to be obedient to Jesus Christ. So many believers are out there trying to live just as unbelievers live, and they don't find satisfaction. Why? Because they have not held true and firm to the teachings and truth of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, my friend, is right now. Right now. And when you do a charitable act, you believe that your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. Because you believe in a God that is alive and is in control and is ruler over all. It all starts with your belief and your faith in Jesus Christ, and it is not just an intellectual faith. Your faith has legs. It has actions. It has hands. It has feet. Later on in Matthew 6, Christ says in verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. All of these things that we're concerned about right now, the things that consume your mind Monday through Saturday, it's all gone. It's all gone. It's going to be all burnt up. It's all going to be eaten up. The rust is going to tear it up. The world's going to be gone. And Jesus Christ says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. See, God's a God of reward. God's not unfair. He's not unjust. He is a God of reward. The world, my friend, may be telling you that as you live an obedient life for